gets to keep the registration fees.
But doesn't that just come out of the same pot eventually? I mean, the $5,600, it goes towards the 12 grand for the next year, right?
No, it's 12 grand plus the 56. So in essence, they're getting, you know, 17,000 a year to hold their conference and meetings.
So that's, yeah, it's just not the conference. It's our yearly meetings and
Everything
that goes into, it's just not the conference. It's, it's support of the board, just like we support the council. That whole budget is everything for UPAA, board meetings and conference.
But it would come out of the same pot. I mean, if they brought the money back and it came into our budget, we would still budget for them to have those meetings, et cetera, right?
We would, but we limit them to the 12,000, so we would be cutting their budget by, you know, 5,000.
Whatever the registration is.
Right. Okay, limiting out-of-state travel to once a year. What that means is instead of going to NAPC twice a year, I would just go once, and maybe Maryland, Maryland wouldn't go, but there's certainly some benefit to that, making contacts, getting ideas for training, and some different things. Number nine is working with the AG's office to get access to that 519-406 surcharge money. We talked a little bit about that last time, but I'm going to table that, for today. That's the money that goes to the AG's office to pay for training for domestic violence from municipal and county attorneys. Number 10 is reducing the number of conferences that we hold. That is our mandate, though, is to train, so that's probably not really viable. 11 is seeking additional grants. There's grant money out there, but I can tell you, Don and I can tell you, managing grants is a pain in the ass, excuse my language. And my feeling is if we were to become grant dependent, that I'd have to hire somebody part-time at least to manage those grants. I'm approaching the legislature for additional funding, but again, what's that likely when we got nothing this year? And then the last one is considering becoming a 501c entity and soliciting corporate sponsors. Texas does that. You know, it's either Bush, Anheuser-Busch, or Budweiser, you know, funds Texas. But, you know, it sounds great.
Woo-hoo.
Except for those years when
they host receptions where they pay for the beverages?
Yes, the new Blue Sky Whiskey Distillery in Park City, right?
Yeah, so I mean, it sounds great.
They sponsor all of our wet.
Yeah, wet laps.
Wet laps.
Yeah, but then somebody would have to go out and solicit all of that, and what do you do when the funds dry up? I mean, so again, that's not really a viable option, but we threw everything out on the table and, you know, for y'all to think about.
That's a question that's probably not very politically correct, but do we get any money from the AG's office?
No. Well, the 15,000.
We get housing there, but do we pay for our housing?
Oh yeah, we pay 15,000 and then plus some other costs to the AG's office.
Okay.
Oh, and one that I forgot.
One option is we could be funded directly from the legislature and not be at the AG's office.
I suppose that's true, but we would need a big bump in.
We need a bigger budget.
Yeah, because is when we, last year, last spring, we went up to the U and we're touring the new law school, and they've got space to rent. I was talking to someone and they sent me an estimate what it would cost to rent a suite of offices, you know, for UPC staff, and it was double. It'd be double what we're paying currently to the AG's office,
We're
really getting a good deal where we are, even though it's not ideal, but.
My other question is, is it legal possible for us to solicit corporate sponsors without having 501c3 status?
Well, that has been on my list of to-dos all year, is thinking, you know, like, for most bang for the buck, could we do that? It's so far down my priority list that I just haven't pursued that.
Ask the state agency council to research it for you.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I know that the CJC Symposium in the past, they haven't always done it every year, but sometimes they do have corporate sponsors for things like awards and prizes and holding receptions. They'll have a company, I can't remember what the company was, but they had a company at the CJC conference a couple of years ago. A company sponsored the you know, one of the dinners. I mean, they have things like that that happen. Right. I remember Kirk Torgensen getting up and talking about, thank you to this company for funding our dinner tonight. You know. So I don't know.
That's how UMAA does it, the municipal attorneys.
Well,
but then you guys are private and member dues driven or paid, right? Yeah. So it was who is it?
State Agency Council. And so I guess the contact would be Greg and Greg to Bridget Romano.
Okay.
She would know whether we can ask them to do that and who to contact if we can.
Okay.
Has UPC ever had a membership fee?
No.
I mean, that's something.
I'm just not seeing what's changed that much over the last 5 years that we're this worried about money, other than the surcharge may be down a little bit, but and nothing impersonal to Donna, but when her position came, it was a year or two, and it was funded on grant, and I've been assured that grant is paying for it. And in passing 20 minutes ago, Robert said, well, UPC is going to have to absorb more of that as the grant fades. That'll be a board decision. That's one thing that wasn't listed on your options, is that maybe have to, something we have to look at. So we can't just assume that a grant position is going to be absorbed by us, and then we're upping membership fees, or cutting back the services we offer, or looking for corporate sponsors like Shirtlift and Swallow did, and it didn't turn out too well for them. And so I just don't think that much has changed, other than if the grant is tailing off on that position, not personally.
Right.
If the grant tails off, we may have to look at that as, can we keep that specialized position?
You're right, Jan. I guess I was thinking that, you know, we would see benefit in keeping Donna, but you're right. I mean, that
absolutely, she's the rock star of the whole thing. Right?
Right.
I mean, the state loves her and loves her training.
Right.
It's not just personal hers. Can we afford the?
Right.
Well, I won't be here forever either. You guys have to decide.
Well,
if you want this as a position.
Right. Well, and not only that, I mean, that is with Ron's position is, you know, does UPC need an IT person? My answer would be yes, especially as we're going, you know, web-based and more, but, you know, is Ron a necessity to run UPC, you know, to do our training?
I would just say, and I mean, I love the staff, they're all my friends, but when we look at staff merit awards and those kinds of things, so on one side we've got surcharges down, but on the other side we're looking at, do we get a new software program to run our conferences,
mm-hmm.
which is cost. We look at staff incentive awards, which is an extra cost. We absorb grants that aren't being, you know, paid as much.
Right.
And so I'm just wondering if, rather than reducing services or bumping membership fees or registration fees or dues, we should at least be in the discussion on the table.
Absolutely.
And probably not for today, but I just thought in the future we've got to look at a global budget.
Because those grants could go away at any time. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, the DV grant is year to year, January to January. But every year it's gone down since I've been doing it. They go down about $8,000 or $10,000 every year in what they give us. And they haven't stated this, but I think their agenda is, we gotta, you know, wean these people off of these grants. And so the DV grant funds 40% of my position, but the sexual violence grant funds 60%, and there's no guarantees that it will continue to be renewed either. In 2016, the current grant ends, and October 2016. And right now, there's discussion by CCJJ of not renewing it. That would mean 60% of my salary would not be, no longer be funded.
So I realize that we don't have time to discuss that. You know, you're talking about maybe future conference, Jan, is just so that I can plan. I mean, what would be a good time to have that discussion?
I was just throwing it out there just as we're looking at cost-cutting measures.
Right.
As an option. So I don't even feel, I don't know how I would even vote on something like that. I guess we'd launch the surcharge and check out on the call maybe.
Well, like I said, I think that a couple things. I mean, with all of the work that both Donna and do with Post, but it's also for Post,
mm-hmm.
maybe we get some participation from them, but then back to mirroring what Post did with mm-hmm. HB 85.
Yeah. Okay. So, like I said, I'm hoping that things will get better, but I just wanted to raise that as an issue, just so the council, you know, is thinking about that. You know, as you think of ideas or have issues, you know, let me know and I'll include it. So, we've already adopted the budget. Okay, I think that takes us to the training report. Steve, you got anything?
The training committee hasn't met since before our last meeting, which was good. And then like Bob mentioned, Rich Hamp wants to work with us more and do some more joint training. But I think our agendas are set for this year. And so I don't have much else to report from the training committee.
Let's see.
Who's up next? No, you're good.
Tread on your toes there.
You're fine. So let's go to Donna and Ed. Oh, we've got the UPA report first. Sorry. Marilyn, anything there?
I'm reporting for Chris Stevens. I get someone needs to be her proxy, I guess.
You? Well, you can't.
I can't. So the UPA conference is next week. It's going to be in St. George. We have a full agenda. You have it right there. It's going to be a real full agenda. We're going to have Donna come down. We're also going to have the McNeil case with Alexis Summers is going to come and talk about her side of the whole case. You know, she was the daughter of both the defendant and the victim. We have an ethics. So just to kind of remind you attorneys that this is bar approved for CLE. So anytime if you guys or any of your staff are needing, you know, extra hours, or they need hours for the reporting period, they always come to UPAA. We're more than welcome. You know, more than welcome to come. So I hope to be under budget for that next meeting. So that's our report.
All right, thank you. Now let's go to Donna and Ed.
Ladies first, Donna.
For some reason, I don't have my materials.
I'm going to help get lunch. I'm going to listen.
Okay.
I'm going to help get lunch.
I'm not sure which thing you'd want me to talk about. Which things you want me to talk about.
It's what you've been doing since our last meeting, your last report.
Okay.
Besides your cookbooks, of course.
The training numbers tend keep are very consistently very high, about 10 times what my grant requires. So and you know, we're kind of at the mercy of Ed, and I both are kind of at the mercy of who requests us to come and do training. But so far it's always, there seems to be a lot of need out there, because we get a lot of requests. And let's see. So training continues to be very much at least half my time. I do training probably at least once a week. I go somewhere to do some training. I'm starting to have more requests to go nationally and do training. But I've always told them they have to pay all expenses. It's not something that UPC should pay for, in my opinion, because it's not benefiting Utah prosecutors. So I'm going to a couple national conferences, one this fall, and then next April I'm going to the End Violence Against Women conference, and they will both pay for everything. So training is really good. I mean, I guess I'm to the point where I could cut back on the amount of training I'm doing. At first, when I first started 3 years ago, I was like calling people, hey, can you want to have me come and train you? And asking people. Now I'm to the point where I could start saying no more if the council doesn't want to, you know, spend quite as much. Bob and I have talked about several times about having agencies pay the cost for me to go and do travel. Like, for example, you know, I'm going to Cedar City. We're implementing the lethality assessment in Utah, which is very exciting. We have four pilot sites. Cache County is one of them. Cedar City is one of them. Let's see, where else? West Jordan and Woods Cross. So we're doing four different pilot sites for lethality assessment, which is very exciting. I've been working 3 years on with other people on getting this going. But I told DCFS they have to pay for my expenses to go do that because, anyway, so we, Bob and I have talked about whether you as a council want me to ask for reimbursement.
Oh, and that's one thing, that was in my suggestions of ways to save money in the budget. I just forgot to mention that.
So I could say to, you know, if I'm going to Duchesne, which I've done a couple times, I've gone to Vernal. I mean, if I'm going to these places around the state, that costs UPC money to pay my mileage and so forth. So I could ask for reimbursement for agencies that are requesting me to come, especially if I'm going to, like, Blandon. You know, that's a huge commitment because I have to, you know, it's a long drive down there and I have to stay overnight. They recently asked me to come and do a thing on in August with them. So I could ask that. It just depends on what you want me to do. I also could charge a fee that would go to UPC. So I know the federal rate is $650 a day for training days and $250 a day for travel days. So that's the standard fee that the feds will pay to people who are coming and doing conference presentations. So we could think about that and think about mileage and per diem reimbursement. So, I don't know.
You know, I'd like to at least know. I feel like the fundamental thing is that we're training big groups so we have everybody come. And I think the regional things have been good and boutique trainings are great. But I think we at least need to know how that's coming out in the budget. If that's a big part of the budget, I think we need to look at it. If we look at it as minuscule, then I'm going to say, okay, that's not the problem. But I think I'd like to know that.
Okay.
Do you know how much it's costing UPC for my mileage and per diem?
I'd have to run.
Okay. I've never kept track of it.
But I think the other distinction is if she's going out to train prosecutors, I mean, that's what we do.
Right.
If it's mostly law enforcement, that's where I think we get post participation and the local agency. I think if it's primarily focused on police, then I think that we should get reimbursed for that.
The reason I think it's really nice for us to include law enforcement is, first of all, if I drive to Blandon, the audience is going to be 80% law enforcement, 10% victim advocates, 10% prosecutors. But that's just the natural way of things. And sure. We'll get the prosecutors there if they know all their cops are going.
Okay.
Because they want to hear what I'm doing. They want to hear what I'm telling their cops. So I get prosecutors to come by doing a training where it's mostly law enforcement.
Okay.
Like I did in Layton. In Layton, I did Layton PD. Yeah. All officers were required to come, which was awesome. And then the prosecutors also came, you know, to hear what was happening. So I think it's a good... I don't know. It depends on the organization. Some of them ask me, do you want us to pay your mileage? Do you want us to pay per diem? Those kind of things. And so far my answer has been no. It's part of my job and part of my grant money. But it's something we should think about, I think. Okay.
Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a break, everybody. Fill your plates and come back, and then we'll continue. Because I can't concentrate with the smell.
There's a lot of food.
Oh,
there's a lot of food.
I planned on more than.
Yeah, where'd everybody go?
10 or 12.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome to keep going. Just when you're done.
I don't need those.
So you have to eat.
I'll take lunch home to Chris.
For some reason, there's two copies of my report in here.
Oh, there are?
If I had a Christian at home, I could just
get
them.
Like New York, New York.
Oh, you're getting close. Oh, you know what? Because I probably printed it
nine hours.
Twice just to look.
Minutes. So many seconds.
You're hilarious. 9 days. I'm stoked. That's so cool.
9 days.
Oh no, that's good. That's good. So I got to a member state president. He says, you can tell those guys that come in and actually get emotional. They pull off their tag. He says, then there's dudes that just want to drive by and fling it to my house.
Yeah. He tells me he doesn't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about
it. So what's your plan when he comes home? I was going to say it would be just cool for you as a family to get away for the weekend.
to get him to see his brother. Family's gonna touch his hand, so he's gonna do that.
At Munich.
It's gonna be a guy.
Yeah, he loves his mom too. And he's cool.
He doesn't really, he doesn't want to say, because he doesn't want to think about that time. Yeah, we'll get away and just hear what.
Larry's spring chicken in. It's not any spring chicken in, it's Larry's spring chicken in.
Larry's. As opposed to the one that used to be in the
Pogo?
Or,
yeah,
it was actually a swash shift.
Oh, it's a lot of
food.
Donna, anything else you want to talk, or did you just not want to talk with your mouth full?
I don't know if anybody wants to particularly hear about anything else on the big issue that I'm working on domestic violence around the state is getting lethality assessment implemented. And the big thing that I'm working on for sexual assault cases is get some best practices. And the DNA backlog issue is still taking a lot of time.
So, personal question, did you get a chance to look at the form that we've been using for lethality assessment? Like, we've been doing it for years.
I don't think I have it.
Yeah.
Did you send it to me?
I'm sure I did. Yeah, we've been doing it for years.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Is it the Maryland protocol or is it some other protocol?
I don't know. It's the Leighton protocol.
The Leighton protocol. That's awesome.
Yeah. We whited out the little C with the circle at the bottom. Okay, so you want me to send that to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one that's being...
we've been using it for at least 5-6 years. Easy.
Is it the first responders that do it?
I don't know, man. I just looked through it. I don't see where it came from. I just looked to see what the person reported. And the officer noted.
As a prosecutor, do you find it helpful?
Uh-huh.
That's awesome.
Yeah.